Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Freedom of Species would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast today. We pay our respect to the elders of all of the lands on which we meet across Australia.
Hello and welcome to Freedom of Species, the show that brings animal advocacy to the airwaves of 3CR Community Radio. You just heard Sally with Out of the Pan with guest Sam Dengate. That was a repeat episode. I hope Sally had a nice break and she's going to be back next Sunday. Check out of the Pan with Sally every Sunday, 12 to 1, for pansexual, trans and gender diverse, polyamorous and queer issues, news and events. I'm your host, Lottie, today joined by Hayden.
Hello, or meow.
Meow. And today we're going to be talking about vegan cats, our vegan cat, why and how to keep a vegan cat, adopting cats and indoor cats.
I think just the issues, I guess, that we see is vegan people who live with a cat that we think other vegans should be conscious of, or anyone should be conscious of when you live with a cat.
Yeah, yeah. Before we get into that topic, just wanted to mention the 3CR Radiothon, which ran throughout June and July. So excitingly, Freedom of Species surpassed our target. We reached $1,764. So thank you so much for all of our amazing listeners and supporters who donated. 3CR amazingly has raised $250,000, but they're not quite at their $30,000 target yet. So if anyone would like to donate at any time, you can make a one-time donation or you can subscribe and make an annual contribution. So go to 3cr.org.au and click the donate or subscribe buttons. They've got all the information there about different ways you can pay, or you can call 3CR during business hours at 94198377. And you're welcome to select Freedom of Species as your program of choice if you donate or subscribe. So I think I'll throw over to Hayden to kind of introduce the topic in a bit more detail and we'll jump in.
Yeah, thanks, Lottie. So this is kind of, I guess, inspired by, one, the fact that we, in the last year, have started living with a beautiful little vegan cat, Chechi. And then also something I see a lot in online vegan spaces is people who are very against the idea of keeping a vegan cat, and it's something that I find quite irritating that I see vegans acting as though having a vegan cat is animal cruelty and that you should be giving your cat meat, essentially. So I think, like, to start off the show, we'll probably talk about vegan food for cats first, or feeding them a vegan diet. And so the first thing I want to kind of talk about right off the bat is this kind of myth of the obligate carnivore. So I think I see that bandied around a lot when it comes to cats and vegans diets. So, like, because cats are what's called an obligate carnivore, and I think people tend to misunderstand this. So essentially that means that if cats are eating a diet that has no human intervention, then to get all the nutrients they need to eat a meat-based diet. But that's the same as humans are obligate omnivores, because, like, without having kind of modern technologies or science or anything like that, we need to eat animal-based products to get all the nutrients we need, most importantly vitamin B12, and with cats it's most importantly taurine. But with human intervention, these things kind of, like, fall apart. So it's a matter of nutrition as opposed to specific foods. So I've got a quote here from Andrew Knight, who's a researcher into like animal diets, and he's also a veterinarian. And so he says, "Neither dogs nor cats have biological requirements for particular ingredients, including meat. Instead, they have biological requirements for specific nutrients. Provided that diets are formulated to be nutritionally complete and balanced and palatable to companion animals, with sufficient bioavailability so that the ingredients are adequately digestible and absorbable, animals should thrive on such diets. This is supported by the studies conducted to date with respect to nutritionally sound vegan diets. So yeah, there is a growing body of evidence that cats, it's healthy for them to, like, they can thrive on vegan diets. And I think in the show notes, we can link to those studies. I think we don't have the time and it doesn't bear going into all the body of evidence, but it seems to generally point to, yes, it's healthy to have your cat on a vegan diet. So the main thing to know with that is that you should be putting your cat not on a homemade diet, but rather on a commercially available, nutritionally complete diet. So don't rely on yourself to kind of formulate this. So like when we got our cat, Chechi, what we found was there's, at least in Australia, available to us, three main brands that do nutritionally complete vegan cat food. So those are Vegan Pets, which is an Australian brand, I believe. There's Bonovo, which I think is an American brand. And then there's AMI, that's A-M-I, which is a Italian brand. And so they all do nutritionally complete dry foods. And it's important to note that no brand does nutritionally complete wet foods. So you should only be using wet food to supplement your cat's diet if you're feeding it vegan food. Yeah, and so it's actually pretty, well, if you want to switch your cat onto a vegan diet, which you should, we're using those brands. They all will provide you information on how to make this transition, because cats can be quite picky, as anyone who lives with a cat knows, when it comes to food. So you can try switching straight away to a fully vegan diet with one of these brands. Otherwise, they all recommend that what you do is gradually start mixing some of the vegan food in with some of your cat's food that it's used to, and slowly over like a few weeks, increase the proportion of the vegan food compared to the food that it's been on before. And then eventually you'll have 100% vegan food and your cat should be able to make the switch. And so some cats, like our cat, she switched straight away. She didn't need a transition period. We just like to think that we're amazing with cats. We're cat whisperers, so it should be that easy for everyone. But no, some cats apparently are quite fussy, so it might take a few weeks for some. Some it might be really easy to change. The other recommendation I would have is try out maybe all the different brands. So all of them sell little kind of like tester size packets of food. And so you can experiment with those and see which one your cat likes best. So we did that with ours, and we found like she has a preference for like a couple of the brands instead of the other one. And so it's good to just be able to know which foods she likes more and what foods it's easier to feed her. You can also try adding things like nutritional yeast, low salt veggie broth, or nori flakes for flavor to the dry food. And those are things that can help encourage the cat to make that transition, because cats tend to like those flavors. And then I guess the other thing to do when you're switching your cat onto a vegan diet, so the evidence suggests it's safe. There's lots of anecdotal information as well out there that you can find, including us, that will say it's safe. But as with any change in your cat's lifestyle, just watch for behavioral changes in your cat. So things like if they start having accidents outside the litter box, or if they start behaving strangely, because this it could indicate that there's a health issue arising from the change to their lifestyle. And then you should just take them to see a vet and see if there are any issues. And like, regardless of whether you're switching your cat to a vegan diet, this is just something to be mindful of when you're having any changes to your cat's lifestyle, because they can find these stressful, and these little changes can cause an imbalance that can make a cat unhealthy. So, you know, there's a low risk of that when you're switching to a vegan diet, but it's just something to be aware of. Did you want to?
Yeah, I've just got a couple things to mention. I think one of the kind of go-to resources for feeding your cat, and actually also a lot of information for dogs, switching them to a vegan diet, the information evidence supporting that it's healthy, some of the benefits of it, and then how to do it is Dr. Andrew Knight's website, Sustainable Pet Food, sustainablepetfood.info, and we'll put that in the show notes. I think the FAQs there nicely kind of, you know, spell out some of the evidence. And then for cats in particular, one of the pages on that website, Vegetarian Feline Diets, gives more detail on some of those things. There have also been two previous Freedom of Species episodes you might want to check out. So Human Cats and Dogs / Human Population. So from 25 minutes in that episode, Nick and Adam and Katie talk about human dogs and cats. Sorry, vegan dogs and cats. I've written down human dogs and cats. Vegan dogs and cats is probably called.
Shout out to Adam and his cat as well, because that's another vegan cat. And shout out to Moo Moo, Nick and Katie's dog, who's a vegan dog.
Yeah. And then Veggie Pets is another previous Freedom of Species episode on that topic. So we'll link those in the show notes.
Another good resource that I found and used a lot when we were getting our cat is there's a subreddit called Vegan Pets. So that's r/vegan pets. And they have a full, the same, like frequently asked questions, links to like research and lots of advice, and like you can interact with other people who have vegan pets who are switching onto vegan diets and get all kinds of like advice from people who have been through it and will interact with you directly as well, which is quite useful.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I've got a quote here from Sustainable Pet Food that I think I'll read out, and then I've got a bit more information. Quote from that website in the FAQs is that by 2024, there were close to 15 health studies, including studies utilizing blood tests, x-rays, veterinary clinical examinations, clinical histories, veterinary health assessments, owner opinions, and other data such as rates of medication use, medical diet use, and veterinary visits. Most of these were long-term studies and some very large scale. Only one study suggested that a vegan diet is less healthy, and this study was much lower quality than nearly all of the above. So I think this kind of, you can dig into those actual studies if you're interested, but I think this debunks some of the maybe common arguments that are put out there that, we're only basing it on anecdotal evidence that a vegan diet can be healthy, whereas it seems to really be the other way around. I think another thing is that it might just be vegan owners being subjective about whether their cat is healthy. They have a vested interest to say that their vegan cat is healthy, and so studies that only look at guardian or pet owner reports are going to be biased. There is a growing body of evidence that uses different types of evidence.
And it's quite consistent between studies that there's either no difference in health or the vegan diet can be healthier.
Might be healthier, and just a bit of, we'll just go into a little bit of detail here, but those previous episodes I mentioned, Dr. Knight goes into more detail. But I think something to consider is that there are even health risks of animal flesh or meat diets for animals. And so I guess, something to consider is that you're making a choice for your animal either way, whether you think it's better to feed them an animal flesh diet or a vegan diet. I think people argue that, your cat can't choose to be vegan, so it's cruel to force them onto a vegan diet. But there are some, health risks of feeding them animal flesh. A lot of the animal carcasses used in pet food are not fit for human consumption, and these pose additional disease risks. So it might be animal carcasses that are past their use-by date or from sick animals. So there's things like risk of bacteria, infectious diseases, and antibiotics residue in animal flesh-based pet products that you wouldn't have in vegan pet food. The standards that are set for pet food, whether it's labeled premium or not is not the same as for human food. And so, yeah, this carries some extra risks. And yeah, I think something to note also, so taurine is the key
Yeah, it's the key
nutrient.
One that cats wouldn't be able to get, like, in a naturally, like, if they were wild, they wouldn't be able to get from, like, plant-based sources.
Yep, and so something to consider is that taurine in animal flesh is degraded in the processing stage, and so they add back in to animal-based pet food. So this is just exactly the same as a vegan
pet food. Yeah, so whether you're having a meat-based pet food or a plant-based pet food, the taurine is going to be synthetically added in, and it will be a plant-based taurine that's added to it.
Yep.
Either way. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think...
Yeah, I might just say just a couple more things before we jump to a song.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think just on that topic of people thinking that it's unfair to make your cat have a vegan diet and they didn't choose this, etc. So just to add to what you said, so the meat-based pet foods that people give to cats, none of that is food that would naturally be a cat's diet. Cats are not naturally eating chicken, not eating fish. They're not eating cows. They're not eating anything like that. So you're making a choice whether you give your cat vegan food or otherwise to give them food that they wouldn't be having in the wild. But they're a domestic animal anyway. So I think that's a bit of a silly argument. And I think people also have this idea that it's somehow cruel to give them vegan food because they don't actually want that. But just speaking from anecdotal experience, our cat Chechi goes absolutely crazy for her vegan food. She loves it so much. So I think, you know, it's a bit disingenuous to if you're making that call for them either way. If you're saying, oh no, they wouldn't want vegan food, maybe let them try it and try doing that transition and see whether they like it, because then they can actually make that choice. And then the other thing I just want to quickly say at the end of this kind of vegan-y food-based thing, it's tangentially related, but whether you switch your cat to a vegan diet or not, you should be brushing your cat's teeth. So we can put some information in the show notes about, it's very easy to find out how to do this. There's lots of videos on YouTube, lots of websites, and it's just important for your cat's dental health, and it will help them live a longer and healthier life. So yeah, we'll put some information there, and everyone should be trying to do that about like once or twice a week with their cat.
Yep. Yeah, I think actually I'll just end with a couple thoughts too. So maybe something for people to consider is that, you know, if you think it's important to cut down the amount of meat and animal products that you eat for ethical or environmental reasons, consider whether this, you know, that kind of applies to your pets as well. And so, yeah, if you're concerned that a fully vegan diet might not be the best approach for your pet, or, you know, maybe you can't afford to only buy vegan pet food, I think even just starting with a mix and seeing how you go doesn't hurt, and it, you know, reduces the amount of animal-based food you're buying for your animal. And then, yeah, see if you can just build up to a level where that you know you can afford and that you feel comfortable for your animal. And I think that would still be a positive change from just feeding them all animal-based food. So I think, yeah, we'll go to our first song. This one is called Sea of Love by Cat Power. This was picked by Hayden. Did you want to say something about this song?
Yeah, this is dedicated to our cat Chechi, who we love.
Freedom of Species thanks Animal Free Science Advocacy for their financial support of this program. Animal Free Science Advocacy works to create a future where no animals are harmed in the name of science. And scientific progress is advanced through animal-free research methods. Become a member today by visiting animalfreesci.org.au. That's animalfreesci.org.au.
Do you work in a brothel, massage shop, escort agency, fetish house or dungeon, cam studio or porn set, sauna, short-time hotel, outdoors or on the street, or in any other space where sex work happens? Recent changes to Victorian sex work laws mean that sex workers now have more options for how and where we can work and who we can work with.
To find out more about Victoria's new sex work laws, contact Vixen, Victoria's statewide peer-only sex work organisation, 100% by and for all sex workers on 039-070-9050.
And talk to another sex worker about what the partial decriminalisation of sex work means for you, your workplace and your community. Or check out the Decrim Info Hub at vixen.org.au. Vixen is a 3CR supporter.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species on 3CR Community Radio. Today I'm joined by Hayden and we're talking about vegan cats and having a cat as vegans. Will I throw it to you, Hayden,
for
the next segment?
Yeah, so I think as we talked about at the start, we're kind of chopping this episode into thirds. So it's just going to be kind of like a flurry of information as we do that. But so the first third was vegan diets. This third, we're going to be talking about keeping an indoor-only cat or an indoor cat, not necessarily indoor-only, but a non-roaming cat. So something that we probably won't really dig into because I think there's a lot of, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but a lot of differing opinion on this point.
A lot and, to consider and go into.
Well, so, just in terms of like the effect of roaming cats on other animals. I think there's a lot of conflicting opinions in both like the research literature and just out there, and I don't think we're going to convince anyone either way. So like there are some studies which suggest that roaming cats kill, you know, hundreds of millions of animals per year. So that's like pet cats who go and roam, and some people claim that's very inflated. I think without debate, they do kill some animals, but we're kind of not going to go into that much here. So if you think that they have a negative impact on the environment, that's a good reason to keep your cat inside. If not, we'll also be talking about this from the cat's perspective itself. And so one reason that we feel strongly about keeping a cat indoors is that indoor cats, so I've seen studies suggesting that they live 8 to 10 years longer on average than cats which are allowed to roam. So there are a few different reasons for this. So one is that outdoor cats are very frequently involved in accidents with cars, so being run over by cars, being hit by cars, and this often results in their death or permanent disability. So I saw estimates that more than 5 million cats per year are killed by cars in the USA. And cats are also harmed by other animals. So birds of prey, including owls, will hunt cats. They can get into fights with dogs, be harmed. And there are even some humans who, whether they think cats shouldn't be outdoors because they're harming the environment and might trap and kill them, or are just sadistic people who take the opportunity to harm an animal that they find, there are some humans who will hurt and kill cats as well. So it can be quite dangerous outdoors for your cat. And even ignoring those things, if your cat roams, they're much more likely to pick up parasites and illnesses when outdoors. So worms, things like that. And then illnesses such as feline immunodeficiency virus, which you might also have heard referred to as cat AIDS, which is spread to cats through bites. So when cats fight each other, then this can spread and it can significantly shorten a cat's lifespan and make it much more prone to illness. So that's a good thing to want to avoid for your cats. And then there's also the risks of when cats are eating animals outdoors. So for instance, they might eat mice that have been baited with poison. And so if a cat's eating an animal that's itself ingested poison, then the cat will end up being poisoned and die too. So there's lots of potentially negative impacts on your cat from being outdoors. And yeah, I think for us, that's a great incentive to keep our cat indoors. I think I would be very devastated if we let our cat roam and then she just disappeared one night and we never knew what happened to her. I think another thing that happens not infrequently is cats might get picked up and taken to shelters. And I've seen that there's like, it's maybe like 10% of the time or something like that, that it ends up back with its original family. So even if your cat ends up at a shelter and getting a, like, back with humans who care about it, it's unlikely to make its way back to you. So, yeah, I think that's a heartbreak that probably anyone who lives with a cat would want to avoid. But then I think, despite all these risks, I think there are some people who feel quite strongly that for the cat's well-being, they should be outside, despite all these potential negative impacts. But I mean, I've read a lot from like cat experts, like researchers into cats, veterinarians, all this kind of stuff, who seem to agree that it is fine for a cat to be indoors only, provided you provide the right environment for your cat. So there are some things that cats absolutely need. So like one of these things is vertical space. So even if you're in a small apartment, like we're just in a little two-bedroom apartment, and it's fine for our cat because cats, more so than horizontal space, which is what we as humans might think is more important, cats want a lot of vertical space. So they want to be able to climb, and they want to have perches where they can kind of survey their domain. So they want to be like the lions in The Lion King. And so everything that the light touches, this is my domain. So it's important for you to have things that your cat can climb. So this is one reason why it's important to have a nice tall cat tree. And so, cause cats like to be able to be at the highest point in their environment to look around at things. So having one or two tall cat trees can be really good for your cat if you're keeping it inside, cause this lets them climb. And often they'll also have places to hide, which is another thing that cats, since they're a prey animal as well as a predator animal, to feel safe, they need to have, good places to hide where they can feel nice and secure. Having a cat tree or having little like tunnels or little enclosed spaces where your cat can safely go to when they're feeling scared is really important. Another thing is having scratches. So that's something that when they go outside, cats will use trees and other things like that for. And so if you're keeping your cat indoors, just make sure you have a lot of scratching things around. So people might get upset about cats scratching furniture, but they tend to do that when there's no better options. So having scratching posts, we have these kind of like corrugated cardboard scratches that our cat loves, and they're about like, I think $4 from Bunnings, and it lasts her several months. And so just having a few of those around your house that your home that your cat can find, and so that will help them keep their claws in good order and also help them get out nervous energy. It's good for their muscles. It's good for lots of reasons for cats. The other thing is having access to windows. So for an indoor, well, for any cat, windows are like their TV. They can look out on the world, and especially if you have that option, maybe getting a bird feeder or something near your window can be really good to draw birds, because cats love to sit in the window and watch birds. Our little cat, she likes to sit there and make little noises at us. Yeah, calling us over saying, hey, look, there's birds.
And their little tail flicks.
So it's entertainment for you. That becomes your TV, and the window is the cat's TV. But so you want to make sure, one, that your cat has access to the windowsill, so it's in a place where they can climb up to it. So whether that's putting like a cat tree next to it so that they can go from the cat tree to the window, or they can sit on the cat tree and see out the window, or like having something next to the window so that the cat can easily climb up to it. And then hopefully you'll have a windowsill which the cat can sit on. But if you don't, try and put something there. So there are little things you can get with like suction cups, which you can stick to the window, and then it creates a little platform for the cat to sit on. But just making it easy for your cat to be able to sit near the window and see out and see the world is really important for cats, any cat, but especially an indoor cat. And in the same way, like windows are cats' TVs, but there's also TV for cats. So there's plenty of videos on YouTube if you search like videos for cats that you can put on your TV, and cats will be transfixed by it, like videos of like birds, squirrels, that kind of stuff. We often put it on, and then like Chechi, our cat, she likes it, but she doesn't love it. So she'll watch it for about 15 or 20 minutes before she gets bored.
Yeah, she doesn't get engrossed.
But she always like goes up to the TV and tries to catch the animal, and then we'll like look behind the TV to see where all the animals are hiding and get a bit confused because they're not behind the TV. Yeah. And so I think the other thing, so that's all kind of, the other thing is litter boxes. So you should have at least one litter box per cat and make sure that the litter box stays clean. And then also don't put the cat's food and water near the litter box because they don't really want to be, the same as humans, they don't want to be shitting where they eat. So yes, and that those are the kind of the things that are generally agreed is very important for making sure a cat can have an enriching indoor space. Then the other thing that you should be doing is providing enrichment activities for your cat if it's indoors. So that will help it to exercise, help them to bond with you, help them to have fun, help them to get out their hunting instincts. So you can play with toys like wands, so like a little stick with a ribbon on the end or something like that. That's our cat's favorite.
Until recently,
her new favorite is balls of paper, crumpled balls of paper, which is a popular cat toy. So like throwing those and letting the cat chase it. Laser pointers, you know, you can get like little toys that look like mice. You can get all kinds of things. And just making sure that you spend, you know, time each day playing with your cat. So I think people have an idea that compared to dogs, cats are kind of the low effort. They don't need the human input to be happy. But especially if they're an indoor cat, but I think any cat, you should kind of think about like, oh, how long would I spend walking my dog each day? And kind of transfer that and be like, okay, so about like 20 to 30 minutes and try and spend that much time playing with your cat each day. And that will help keep your cat like healthy physically and mentally and like help them bond with you and just ensure that they're having a good life. I think the other thing in your home environment is just being wary of what plants you have. So especially if you're bringing a new cat in, because cats like to chomp plants, and there are lots of common house plants that are quite toxic to cats. So before you bring a cat into, or bring a plant together with a cat, or a cat together with a plant, just do a quick Google search and see if it's toxic to cats, and try and if it is, remove it from the environment. We had to kind of redo our entire indoor space in terms of plants to accommodate our cat when we got her, because we had a lot of toxic plants and didn't want her to die.
Some cats really like chomping leaves, and so yeah, having some safe leaves for them to chomp is good for them.
It's a good enrichment activity for them. It's good for their digestion. And you can get some that are particular plants that cats especially like. So there's like cat grass is one, and you can get a little planter of that and your cat will love to like chomp on that and eat that. And that can also, if you get particular ones that cats are known to like, that can keep them away from your other plants. Although make sure those other plants aren't toxic for cats. Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, a couple other things I just came across to keep in mind if you have an indoor cat. You want to avoid overfeeding your cat. I think that is maybe one of the bigger risks of indoor cats is, diseases from being overfed. Just monitor, make sure you're giving them enough calories, but not too much. And you just want to, you want to monitor them the same way you would with any animal you're living with. So monitor them for boredom and loneliness or stress. And then, you know, you should be taking your cat to the vet about once a year, and it's still important for them to get their vaccinations, even if they're an indoor only cat. You can take them to a vet more often, if any concerns arise. And maybe if you're thinking of getting a cat, you can ask at the shelter about a particular cat temperament and think about whether they're going to be suitable for your environment. So are they probably a cat that's, going to be okay as a solo cat? Would they be better, adopted with a companion? Are they going to be okay as an indoor only cat? Are they going to be okay with children if you've got children in the house? Did we quickly want to talk about safe outdoor access?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for those who either don't want their cat to be an indoor cat or their cat seems to struggle with being an indoor cat, and obviously this varies on a cat-to-cat basis and also, I think, by gender. So I've heard that female cats do much better as indoor cats, whereas male cats have a greater preference to roam. But there are some ways to give your cat outdoor time while keeping it safe from those risks we mentioned earlier, and also stopping it from maybe harming local wildlife. So if you're fortunate to have a yard or an outdoor area, you can get a catio, so that's like a little kind of like a cat run. So they're enclosure. Like little enclosed areas that you can set up outside for your cat.
Yeah,
so it can still like spend time outside and play outside without, you know, having unlimited freedom. You could also try leash training your cat. So I think I've seen a few people around when like the 3CR kind of studio. I one time saw a family taking their cat, and it was quite funny because the cat was just like lay down and slept on the ground, and they were trying to get to move, and the cat was like, no. So if you want to try leash training your cat, there's lots of information out there on the internet. So some things to keep in mind is you want a harness for your cat, so not a collar, so you don't want to have the leash attached to their neck. And you want to have a leash with like not a short one. It's not like walking a dog necessarily. You want it to have enough slack so that the cat can have freedom to explore, but you still have some ability to limit or control where the cat goes. Yeah, and I think, as I said, we haven't tried that with our cat. She is scared of the outdoors, which works very well for us. But if you want to try that out, I think there's lots of information about that, and I think that's become quite a popular thing to do with cats, which is very nice. A house I used to live in, there was a woman in the like apartment block across from me, and in the afternoon, if I went out for a walk, I'd see her just like sitting in front of the building and have her cat on like in a harness with like a rope tied to it, and the cat would just be like exploring the garden, and she'd just be sitting there reading a book, which was very cute.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think, so those are like kind of responsible ways or ways you can keep your cats safe while letting them have some outdoor time if that's something you're interested in or you think that is very important to your cat. And I just wanted to add as well that another benefit to having your cat only having supervised outdoor time and being, other than that, an indoor cat is that cats are very good at hiding when there's something wrong with them. So when they're sick or they're injured and things like that. And so if your cat is an indoor cat rather than roaming, you'll spend more time with your cat. You'll have a better idea of what its normal behavior is, and you'll be likelier to pick up on any of these signs. So it'll be easier for you to monitor your cat's health. So I think like another point in favor of like being interested in your cat's well-being is, yeah, keeping it indoors, and if it needs to have outdoor time, having that be kind of supervised and limited outdoor time.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. All right. We'll go to the next song. So this one is Everybody Wants to Be a Cat from the movie Aristocats.
Freedom of Species would like to thank Project Fresh Start for their financial support of this program. Project Fresh Start provides free plant-based food to the community, with a focus on providing healthy, fresh plant-based food and education around healthy eating and living in a way that sustains the individual, the community, the animals, and the planet. To find out more about our community lunches and programs, check out projectfreshstart.org.au.
Trans Family is a not-for-profit organization providing a peer support group for loved ones, including parents, siblings, extended family, and friends of a trans and gender diverse person. Trans Family runs discussion groups in person and online. We offer a safe space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your situation, and provide peer support. We are especially keen to hear from loved ones in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Trans Family are tax deductible. For more information, visit transfamily.org.au or look for us on Facebook. Trans Family is a 3CR supporter. We are family.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species on 3CR Community Radio. You just heard Everybody Wants to Be a Cat from the Aristocats, and shout out to my sister Julia, who texted in and said, bang a song choice. And I thought I'd take the opportunity to also shout out, as well as Chechi, Chechilia, our cat that we've mentioned a few times, the two other cats in our extended family, Thimble and Caramella. So yeah, they're the cats of my siblings and in-laws. So.
Yeah. Which not vegan cats like Chechi, so of course Chechi's the best cat, but hopefully maybe of aspiring vegans after this episode.
Maybe. So the last topic we're going to cover in this episode is adopting for cats, rescuing cats, and not supporting the breeding industry of cats. So this is some information that I got from the Animal Justice Party policy on companion animals. So in Australia, about 50,000 healthy cats and 40,000 healthy dogs are killed every year. This comes to 264 animals every day being killed needlessly, who, you know, otherwise could have gone to a happy, loving home. So this, yeah, and so people who are buying pets from breeders instead of from shelters, from rescues, I think it's just important to consider that, you know, while you're purchasing this animal that's going to come into your home, there are thousands of animals, or, you know, hundreds at any point in time, who really need a home. So I think it's just really important to adopt and not shop for animals.
And Thimble, who you mentioned, who's the cat of your sister Julia's partner, he was due to be quote-unquote euthanized, I think, the day after, like, he was going to be a day after.
Very soon after.
He was adopted, so he was saved him from that fate.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because he is a sweetie. He's a sweet little bundle of joy.
Yeah. Yeah, we know lots of rescue animals in our lives, so I think it's just, it's really nice to think about that they're in loving homes, and, you know, quite sad to think about just the alternative for them, and that is what hundreds of animals face every day that otherwise could have gone to a nice home.
And I think as well, like, I think sometimes people have this justification for getting an animal from a breeder. They want a particular kind of animal, or they want a kitten instead of an adult cat. And I just want to say, like, if you pay attention to shelters, everything will be available if you're patient. And especially, like, if your preference is to have a kitten, I know, like, compared to dogs, people aren't that crazy about, like, getting a specific breed of cat, but kittens are available to adopt from shelters quite frequently. So any kind of age, all the way from senior through to newborns, will be available to adopt, and so you'll have your pick, and it will be much cheaper. They'll have covered all the vaccinations. They'll de-sex the animal if it's old enough to have that operation. It's just a good way to support these animals as well, and put them in loving homes and saving them from quite a cruel fate.
Yeah. So we adopted Chechi from Lost Dogs Home in North Melbourne. Did you want to say anything else about them?
So they call the Lost Dogs Home, but they also do cats, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. And that was a super easy process. So we just went on the day. You can go in, meet the cats, and
we came home with
Chechi. Yeah, she just we loved her straight away. But I think they are quite popular there. So they're in North Melbourne. So they were kind of the closest one to us. And I think, like, it's great. They adopt out lots of animals. So they have, you can check on their website, and they'll have all their animals up for adoption, and then you can go in and meet them. And yeah, it was a very easy process. And now that's also Chechi's vet. So they run a vet clinic, which is not for profit. And that's where we take her for her checkups and everything.
Yeah. I thought I'd also mention, for people who, you know, think that getting the animal from a breeder is going to be the right choice for them, and that, you know, they've done their research and that the breeder they've looked into is better than, you know, some of the more cruel industrial ones out there. A quote from Animal Justice Party, the companion animals policy page that I mentioned, is: regardless of the size of the breeding operation or the financial motives of the breeder, welfare concerns remain constant. Some of these relate to the poor living conditions in which mother dogs and cats are housed, the likelihood of genetic defects, especially in small and backyard operations, and the likelihood of harm caused by inexperienced breeders. Unfortunately, many who accidentally or deliberately breed their companions have little knowledge regarding the proper care of kittens or puppies and are not equipped to ensure that the offspring find a suitable loving home. This leaves unwanted kittens or puppies to be disposed of through other means, which I think we can understand is a euphemism for, if not just kind of letting them out on the streets, killing them. So I think it's just important to understand that even if you get an animal from a breeder who you think, you know, from what you saw, you know, is a happy animal, there's just a lot going on in the background that you're financially supporting by buying animals from breeders. And yeah, as vegans, we have issues with commodifying animals and, you know.
Yeah, I think like when you commodify the animal, so essentially put a dollar value on it, turn it into a business, even if certain individual businesses like may treat the animals well, generally the commodification of animals will lead to exploitation and cruelty because people are looking to make as much profit as possible from those animals, and so they'll have a vested interest in maximizing profit instead of maximizing the welfare of the animals. And so I think participating in that system is just kind of perpetuating the kind of cruelty and the othering of animals by making them victims of exploitation.
Yeah, definitely. So in the last few minutes, I thought I'll just return briefly to this issue of outdoor cat populations. We don't have time to really go into it, but I thought I'd just give some very high-level information. So I recommend to previous Freedom of Species episodes. One is called The War on Wild Cats in Australia, and the other one is Managing Urban/Peri-Urban Cat Populations Humanely. So these cover the kind of issue of outdoor cats. I think my view generally is that even if cats are damaging to the environment and to native species, I'm against killing cats for this reason. If you listen to those episodes and other resources out there, it doesn't work. It leads to a cycle of killing, which is very expensive. It leads to mental health issues in the staff who have to kill healthy animals, healthy cats, en masse.
Yeah.
And it's cruel to the cats who, it's not their fault that they've been introduced to this environment. I'm also not really convinced by mandatory containment laws that say that you need to keep your cat indoors. So even though obviously from this episode we advocate for keeping your cat indoors, I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, in my opinion, these laws, they can kind of justify vigilantes to enact cruelty on cats.
Yeah, it kind of incites
hate and violence on cats. You know, it might disproportionately penalize lower socioeconomic, lower income and migrant families, people who are kind of just feeding semi-owning cats that they see around the neighborhood and that they care for, but they don't really have the resources to take in as a fully indoor cat. I think it's just important to, you know, I think it's good to keep your cat indoors if you can, but I don't think that's really an excuse to vilify, cats if you see them out on the street, definitely not. And even, you know, think about if there are families who aren't keeping their cats indoors, I don't think it's really fair to be vilifying them. Something that does seem to be something that's considered the gold standard really for controlling cat populations is called trap, neuter, vaccinate, return. And so this is where you trap the cat and then a vet will de-sex them, vaccinate them, you know, deworm, flea control, all of that. They might adopt them out if possible, but if they can't be adopted and if they're healthy, they'll be returned to the spot where they were found. But, you know, they're de-sexed, so they're
not breeding.
They're not going to continue breeding. So this is widely considered to be humane and effective. It's illegal or a grey area under Australian laws because returning a cat to where it was found can be considered abandonment. So I encourage people to support any legislation changes, or, you know, even advocate for trap, neuter, return policies, because I think there's people who care about cats and at the same time care about our native environments, other animal species. I think this is really the best approach for all animals. So we'll wrap up there. Thanks, we'll Hayden.
Just, put in the show notes maybe like the brands of vegan food if you're interested, the links to some of the studies about and like resources about vegan pets and how it's healthy to be a vegan cat, and also maybe some information about dental hygiene for cats and brushing your cat's teeth.
Put plenty of info in the show notes. Something we didn't cover is the environmental impact of animal-based pet food. It's not negligible. It's not just byproducts from humans eating meat. So I'll put some information in there. But feel free to
The show notes is 500 hours of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is only 40 minutes of us talking, and you've got plenty to read up on afterwards.
Yeah.
So this final song is called Jellicle Songs for Jellicle Cats from the musical Cats. This is a favorite in our house.
Bloody slays it at karaoke whenever she does
it. Yeah, I've been known to a couple times. So thanks so much for joining, Hayden, and thanks for listening, everyone. Stay tuned for Rotations, which I will actually be hosting and playing songs with killer saxophone solos for the next hour. So this is Jellicle Songs for Jellicle Cats.
Because Jellicles can and Jellicles do.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.